This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
صلى الله وسلم بارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ثم ما بعد. حديث نمبر 2 from رياض الصالحين قال وعن أم المؤمنين أم عبد الله عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يغزو جيش الكعبة فإذا كانوا ببيداء من الأرض يخسف بأولهم وآخرهم. قالت قلت يا رسول الله كيف يخسف بأولهم وآخرهم وفيهم أسواقهم ومن ليس منهم؟ قال يخسف بأولهم وآخرهم ثم يبعثون على نياتهم. متفق عليه. In this hadith, أم المؤمنين أم عبد الله عائشة رضي الله عنها, she reported about from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. But before we get to this point, here Imam An-Nawawi رحمه الله تعالى used this phrase to as a title from Aisha radiallahu anha. He named her what? Ummi Abdullah. That's a common thing in the Arab culture. Whenever you call somebody, you don't call them by their first name, especially for the elders. Yani. You call them by saying Abu Fulan, Abu Muhammad, Abu Abdullah, Abu Hassan. For the ladies, the same thing, Muhammad, Abdullah, and so on. Usually, they name the person, this is called kunya in the Arabic system. So in this kunya, usually you name them after the oldest boy. After the oldest boy. And if they didn't have boys, then you name them after, you know, their daughter, Abu Aisha, Abu Fatima. Or even you don't even have to have a child to give you a nickname. So you can have any nickname you want, or any kunya you want, you could say. Like calling yourself Abu Abdurrahman, Abu Ahmed, Abu Abdullah. Or Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was named what? Abu Hafs. He had no children named Hafs. Hafs means lion. So Abu Lion, basically, yani, Abu al-Asad, right? But called Abu Hafs. So Aisha never had children, right? So how come she's called Ummu Abdullah? So the ulama, they say she was named after her nephew. Her nephew, Abdullah ibn Zubayr. He is the son of Asma. So he was dear to her. He was very close to her, very dear to her. Like she was called Abdullah, radiallahu ta'ala anha wa ardaha. So she said, قالت, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, يغزو جيش الكعبة, an army will raid the Kaaba. Can you guys comprehend those words for a little bit? Did you hear what I just said? How many of you went to Umrah this break? Raise your hand if you went to Umrah. May Allah accept from you, Rabbil Alameen. Did you see the beautiful side of the Kaaba? A day will come when an army will raid the Kaaba, as the Prophet ﷺ said. Like their destination is to go there to Mecca and raid the Kaaba. فَإِذَا كَانُوا بِبَيْدَاءَ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, and when they reach a desert land, like an open field in a desert land, يُخْسَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ, Prophet ﷺ said, قال, all of them will be swallowed up by the earth, from the front, from the back. أولهم وآخرهم. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she was surprised. قالت قلت يا رسول الله, how come? كيف? كيف يُخْسَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ? How is going to be, the earth is going to swallow them all? وَفِيهِمْ أَسْوَاقُهُمْ وَمَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ. And among them, there are just, will be just those people who just join for the sake of trade and business. Like basically she was saying, and among them were those people who did not have the intention to fight with them. They were just, you know, يعني, they carried the loads, they were just running the horses or the camels. That's their job. So how are they going to be treated the same way? فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُخْسَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ ثُمَّ يُبْعَثُونَ عَلَى نِيَّاتِهِمْ. All of them will be swallowed by the earth, but then they will be raised on the day of judgment, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge them according to their intentions. Allah will judge them according to their intentions. What does this hadith mean? First of all, يَغْزُوا جَيْشُ الْكَعْبَةِ. What army is that the Prophet ﷺ is talking about? And when will this happen? The ulama, they agree this is one of the signs of the day of judgment. Sometimes in the future, it will happen. But what's the meaning of the future? For us, after 1400 years ago, or later actually, from the time of the Prophet ﷺ, all the past years are history for us, right? But for the people of that time, they never expected life will last this long. Therefore, there was an incident when this army came actually towards the Kaaba. And that army, when Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala warda became the governor and then eventually became the supreme leader of the Arabian Peninsula as far as Ibn al-Sham actually. Then they sent him an army. That army was the army of Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi, that vicious tyrant who came from Iraq fighting on behalf of Banu Umayyah, the Umayyad's dynasty, to defeat Abdullah ibn Zubayr. So his army went through. So when the people heard about the army of Al-Hajjaj coming through the desert, they all referred to this hadith that says, that's him. And they were always waiting for what? For the army to be swallowed by the earth. So everybody's happy. So, okay, they're going to be finished. But what happened? Al-Hajjaj arrived in Mecca. And he started destroying the Kaaba. He catapulted the Kaaba. Like, he, of course, is not intentional to destroy the Kaaba, but he was throwing at the army of Abdullah ibn Zubayr. But as, of course, in collateral damage, the Kaaba was damaged badly. Yani. It was later on that Abdullah ibn Zubayr refixed the Kaaba, built it according to the foundation of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which was larger and bigger than the current actual design that we have today. The idea is that that army wasn't the army that was mentioned in this hadith. So the ulama, they say, as part of the Ahlul Hadith and Ahlul Sunnati in terms of their ways of dealing with Ahadithul Fitan, any Ahadith that speaks about massive trials and tribulations of the future, you cannot specify one particular time, generation, incident. Because God knows, Allah knows, which one is the right one in regards to the definition of that Hadith. Because we don't know. Similarly, the Muslims, they talk about the Day of Judgment when the Mongols raided Baghdad. And they talk about the Day of Judgment when the Muslims, they lost Spain. All these events, massive events that happened, they were kind of like reminding them, okay, this is what the Prophet said in this hadith and that hadith. But as we can see, many years later, we're still alive here. Which means we cannot. So which army is that? Allahu A'lam. However, is this army an army of Muslims or non-Muslims? When the Prophet says here, an army that will raid the Kaaba, and this army will be swallowed completely by the earth. Is that a Muslim army or non-Muslim army? Here, doesn't specify. But there's other narrations in Sahih Muslim, and also in Muslim Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala, in which the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day, he was sleeping, taking a nap, in the presence of some of the Sahaba. قَالُوا فَعَبَثَ فِي نَوْمِهِ So the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, moved in his sleep. They realized he was actually kind of like having a dream. Another narration, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he smiled in his dream. While he is dreaming, while he's sleeping, They noticed that he was smiling. And then when the Prophet ﷺ, he woke up later, they asked him, قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ عَبَثْتَ فِي نَوْمِكَ You know, we felt that you moved, that you smiled. What was that all about? He said, I saw in my dream. He saw an army, قَالَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي يَأُمُّ جَيْشًا مِنْ أُمَّتِي So a group, an army from my ummah, which means what? That army is Muslim army. Okay, where are they going? They're heading towards the Kaaba. Why? Because there is a man, لَاذَ بِالْكَعْبَةِ A man who will seek shelter in that Kaaba or in Mecca. اجْتَمَعَ النَّاسُ عَلَيْهِ People, they kind of like nominated him to become their leader. So it refers to who? Al-Mahdi. He will be seeking shelter there. So that army comes out. Where this army is going to come from? Some they say actually from Medina. And some they say because the other nation said from Min al-Sham. من الشام لا الشام هو هيجي من عمان الله المستعان الشام the hadith said الشام what's الشام is anything north from Mecca anything north from Medina that's what they say it could be from Tabuk it could be from Khaybar it could be as far as Damascus الشام Palestine all these places the idea is that army were coming actually in order to do what to suppress that you could say uprising and Allah knows what the political circumstance of that time would look like. On their way, they will arrive at Bayda'a min al-Ard. Al-Bayda'a min al-Ard, which is like an open land in the desert. A flat, open land. Many of the muhaddithin, they say it's somewhere between Medina and Mecca. Allahu A'lam. Could be even before arriving Medina. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guard this man. They'll guard this man in Mecca. And that army will be destroyed. يُخْسَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَأَخِرِهِمْ Like the whole earth will swallow that army. Which means what? Maybe earthquakes, maybe sinkholes open, Allah knows. But بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ, which means the army was massive. Okay, when the Prophet says بِأَوَّلِهِمْ, the front and the back, does it mean that those in the middle are going to be safe? No, that's an expression that it's everybody's going to be destroyed eventually. That everybody from the front and the back, to the back. And that's when Aisha radiallahu anha, she was surprised. And she قالت, Ya Rasulullah, what about the as-suwaqa? Some people, they were forced to come. They had to carry the loads, they run the camels and so on, so they're not part of it. And other people, they were just business people. Because, you know, when you have everybody traveling, they bring with them traders and business people and everybody, like families and so on. So why would they be taken accountable? Why would they be taken into this kind of massive destruction? Shouldn't they be forgiven or not? So the Prophet ﷺ, he says, قَالْ يُخْسَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ, they're all going to be destroyed. And then he says, ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُونَ عَلَى نِيَاتِهِمْ, and on the day of judgment, they will be raised according to their intentions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge them based on their intentions. Those who had the ill intention of destroying the Kaaba or invading Mecca versus those who just came because I had to. I can't, I have to follow orders. They're different, right? So the ulama, what do they say over here? Say, look, be careful who you associate yourself with. If you associate yourself with those who are good, chances for you to have that goodness, inshallah, in your life and also for extended time. But if you associate with those who deserve destruction or fitna or trial or tribulations, even though you have nothing to do with it, but because these people who joined that army, كَثَّرُوا مِن سَوَادِهِ, they just raised the number. They made them look massive and huge and big and obviously intimidating. Even though they had no intention to fight, no intention to come to begin with, but their presence was enough for them to deserve to be actually, you know, punished, or at least be taken by that. And on the day of judgment, Allah will raise them and He will judge them based on their intentions. Similar to this is the ayah in Surah Al-Anfal where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, اِتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً, beware of a trial, of a fitna. لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً, it wouldn't inflict only those who only committed the sin or transgressed the wrongdoers amongst you. No, not just them who are going to be punished. Everybody will be taken by that. Everybody will be taken by that. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an order to an angel to destroy a people, a village, a town, destroy it. So the angel goes and then comes back again to Rabbul Alameen subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qala Rabbi, I wanted to destroy that village, but I found this righteous man among them. There was a righteous man with them. What do I do? قَالَ بِهِ فَبْدَأ, you start with him. Like him destroy first. I said, how come? قَالَ إِنَّهُ, he never, لَمْ يَتَمَعَ وَرْجُهُ لِلَّهِ قَطْ, his face never changed whenever he sees this obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever. Like he was complacent, he was just with the people, enjoying his time with them. He keeps his righteousness for himself, but he never bothered saying to the people, اتقوا الله, استغفر الله, you cannot do this, أعوذ بالله, never. Didn't bother. He goes, بِهِ فَبْدَأ, start with him first. So again, you associate yourself with the people of sin. The dust of that sin might reach you. So be careful with that. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you, Rabbil Alameen. But from this hadith, what do we learn? We learn that intention can be a savior. The intention can be a savior. When there's a situation where you're unable to do anything, keep your heart pure and clean and keep your intention for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And la qadar Allah, even if someone was taken by that destruction, still with their intention, hopefully it will save them with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, ya Rabbil Alameen. Wallahu alam. Any question, Jama'ah? Tafadhal. No. That's a good question. For example, the Ahadith of Al-Fitan, for example, the Prophet has mentioned on the Day of Judgment when the Dajjal comes, he won't be able to enter Medina, for example. So should I act upon this and make the intention to go and travel and live in Medina? Just in case of La Qadda Dajjal comes in my time, at least I'm safe, inshallah ta'ala. I mean, if you're capable and if you have an opportunity and you can live there in Medina, why not? It's a blessed place, a blessed land. And the Prophet ﷺ, he even mentioned, as the conquest was going, it was going to happen in the future, he said, Yemen will be conquered and people will start running to Yemen. Iraq will be conquered, people will go to Yemen, to Iraq. They go to Sham, they go to Egypt. And he says, قال والمدينة خير لهم لو كانوا يعلمون. And Medina will always be better for them if they just know. Also, the Prophet ﷺ says, إن الإيمان ليرزق. Iman start retreating. The Iman will start retreating from the world until it lands in Medina, back in Medina. So in times of fitna, Allah musta'an, yani Medina is a place of safety and shelter. However, not everybody is going to be safe. Because when the Dajjal comes, what's going to happen to Medina? It's going to shake. When Medina shakes, which means earthquake, what happens? Those are munafiqeen and hypocrites and so on, they run out of it quickly. They run out of it. And when they run out of it, they'll be basically faced by a Dajjal and his people. So not everybody who can in Medina is considered an actual righteous one. May Allah make us among the righteous, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Wallahu alam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.